Thank you very much for having me, and thank Richard for his nice welcome, and it's good to be back again with you here in Lurgan Baptist. I believe this is the last meeting, and hope the good wine's here all right, because gee, you've had great times, and I'm after all these other ones who have given, I'm sure, good reports. You know, think of the two men who went to the woman's house and says, "Mrs., do you believe in the hereafter?" She says, "I do." And we say, "We are here after the rent." But I hope you're not here after any rent than they got. I'm not so great at reporting, but this is just our wee cause. For 10 years, I started, left Lisburn 10 years ago, and in June here, and this is our cause. You can see here just who's on it. It's Ruth and myself. This is our workers in Bucharest, Lorenzo, Mariana, and their three children. This is Christy. Remember Christy? He's baptized here. He's married. Well, I suppose we all make some mistakes in life, but he got married, and his wife is expecting a child. He's married a year last September, and he's expecting a child. This is where we work, in Romania, in the centre, down in Bucharest, in the city, and Christy up there on the right-hand side, in the city of Iași. Iași is a city about three times, twice the size of Belfast. It has 600 or 700,000 people. He works there. There's very little evangelical work goes on there. There's Baptist churches and Brethren churches and Pentecostal. And Christy helps in the Baptist church. He's out doing different things. He preaches every Sunday. We'll come to him in a moment. We help with the food parcels. As you can see, there's things there. We believe you should wrap the gospel in a sandwich. We have very hungry believers, very hungry children. And so we give them there. You can see there's rice and there's pasta and there's oil. And sometimes we get vegetables, just put hot water in, sugar and other things for the people who need help. We believe Jesus said, "You feed them." And so we try to help them. And of course, we bring the Word of God. These children have the Bible. They come to the Good News Clubs, and they come to Sunday school. They live beside a railway line, and we get these Bibles locally in Romania, and they have pictures on them, so if some of them can't read, they've still got the pictures, and so we try to encourage them. They're starting to come to Sunday school. Our minibus takes them to Sunday school, and we do these things. This is Christy's, this is Christy's wife, Denisa, working in one of the villages among the gypsy children. And then this little church seats about 20 people just. It's made of straw bricks. It was in a field where poor people were living in Bucharest in Romania. And the believers of the area got together and says, "Let's build them a wee place." But we were meeting in a house, and the house wasn't so nice, but we still met there. And the believers got together, and they made this wee meeting place for the children. And we meet them at night sometimes. And you can see we buy them pencils for school, a sandwich. People give me wee hats for them and other things. And we seek to equip them for school and equip them for life too. This is another house. A believer opened his house and he made a church of it. It would seat about 30-something people. And we have a meeting there every week. Our workers go there in Bucharest and they have a blessed time. And then Sunday the believers will go down to the main church in the city. Sunday school in the local church, where our workers go, they go to an open brethren fellowship, and Sunday school starts just after 9 and goes on to 11, and the service starts at 9 and goes on to 11, and then from 11 to 12 the children come in to hear the pastor preaching, so the service starts at 9 and it finishes at 12. I don't think that would suit us very well, would it? But there you are. This wee boy's in the hospital. We go into the hospital. Our workers go in every week. There's a playroom there for children, and a believer runs it with a mission society. Unfortunately, the mission society have pulled out because of no money, the American Mission Society. But we still go in, I'm doing the wrong thing, aren't I? And we would buy them different things, and we would buy them pajamas and other things. Have I done something? Have I done something stupid? Typical me, you know. There we are. This is Sisterina. She works on the street, and she asked me about buying them some. Well, she gets clothes. She has around a few clothes, she says, to take around. She must have a few clothes. And she gets these clothes second hand for the street people. We make the sandwiches. or she makes and we make up the parcels. She asked me to prepare flasks because the old plastic things were getting cold while we went around the streets. So we bought her four of these big flasks. They hold 33 litres each. And so this is what we do. We go out in the streets, meet a wee girl, she lives in the street, going along the bus, and she just says, "Stop the bus, stop the bus." I says, "What do you want to stop now for?" She says, "There's somebody here I want to see," and this wee girl lives in the street. So we give her some food, and if she needs some help, he would try and help her. She said to me one day, she said, "Norm, we're going to have a rally." I said, "Where are you going to have the rally, Sisterina?" She says, "We're going to have it in the church." I said, "What church will have those people?" She says, "Oh, is it?" So our worker says they're going to have it in our church. Well, I said, "That'd be good. We had a rally." And I said, "Many expecting?" It says, 200. I said, "How are you going to get them? You know, oh, sorry, these people, we have them everything." I says, "How are you going to get them to the church?" She says, "You have your minibus." I says, "I'll take a few trips, 200. She says, "Oh, Norma, we've got an Orr minibus." I says, "Oh, and we've got two or three cars." I says, "That's good. And Norman, could you give us the petrol?" I says, "All right, we'll get the petrol." Then they said, "We're going to give them something to eat, Norman." I says, "Very good. And how are you going to do that?" He says, "Well, I want you to feed them." I says, 200. I says, "All right." So we had the money to feed them. And you wouldn't believe it. These sort of guys come off the street to go to church. This guy, he came, he's in a fight. And you can see he nearly lost his head. And he came to listen to the gospel. So many came, 300 came. And the believers in the church helped us. And we had to split them between the church and the other rooms to take the children away. And nobody was with me, and she helped me. Sometimes these wee children come, and we give them the gospel. We meet gypsies in the street, and nobody likes the gypsies for some reason or other. And maybe it's the same in all the countries, but we meet them, and they're very friendly with us. And there I am. That's Christy beside me. You see him there translating. They live in these shacks on the side of the street. Nobody really wants them, but we believe God loves them and God wants them. And at that meeting there, and I was there, one day two girls get saved. They came to know the Lord, and the man told me the snow was up to there in the winter. And they live there, and the children come. And you see the old soup thing. That's what they were using before. And she said it was getting cold after. It takes two men to lift that, you know, and Sisterina, who does the street work, she lives in the fifth floor of an apartment block, and she's all up in her apartment. Have to bring it all down, then go out into the street. That's an outlook from their house. It's not very nice. And you see the lady helping to give out the soup, and see they come with all they can get, any cups or buckets or anything to come for the soup, because that wee lad, he's got a sandwich in his left hand, and somebody must have given me that wee dog, whatever it is. Threw it in the case, and he was so pleased to get something. You see the soup again. They're coming for the soup, and they wrap the gospel in a sandwich. We meet them in the street in different places. We go around the manholes. You wouldn't believe it. They hit that too much, didn't they? That's Naomi, my daughter, and we went to the manholes for people who live down there. And she says to me, and I was standing, she says, "Daddy, there's something at your foot." I said, "What is this, a rat?" Thought it was dead. It wasn't so bad. And I was glad. And while we were doing the manholes, the other ones do the street evangelism, giving out gospel leaflets and giving out little booklets from the Gideons. The Gideons are very good, and they give us New Testaments for them. We were told, that's Christy standing up, and that's Joseph with the white shirt on and white pullover. Joseph gets saved off the street, and Joseph now helps us, or helps Mamina on the street. We were told there's people living down below there. So there's only one way to find out, isn't there? So I asked Christian in, "We'll pull back these big things and see." And we found out there was 20 people living down there. You can see the baby's bath. They live down there because the heat's down there for the winter. And they live down there, and it's completely, well, you say, pitch black. And we give them soup, give them clothes. "Norman, can you give us nappies? Can you give us some food for the children?" And all the rest of it. They don't exist according to the government. They don't want to know them. But we would try to help them. Jesus went to the street. Did he meet Bartimaeus in the street, didn't he? Did he meet a leper in the street, didn't he? The same Lord Jesus. Then he'd go from village to village. Then the Lord Jesus do wonderful things on the street. And he says, you follow me. We meet these characters. You can see them lying there in the street. This was in the summer. And they gathered around this old derelict place. And Mom Ina took us to it. And I went with her. And there's a boy lying. Sometimes they're on drugs. Sometimes they've sniffed glue. Sometimes they've been out all night. And well, it's just a wee shelter for them. And you can see there the old dog. The sleep of the dogs and everything. The dogs aren't very clean, you know. The Lord says beware of dogs, didn't he? Well, we need to beware of dogs in that place, for they might have rabies and everything. And so we go. I ask one wee boy, what age are you, son? He says, I'm 11. I say, where are you in the street? I run away from home. Nor what are you, I'm 15. Where are you in the street? Well, he said, in the orphanage, he says, and I run away. And the one 17, where are you in the street? Because once you get 17, they throw you out of the orphanage, they have nowhere to go, they have no papers, and they don't exist. Well, doesn't God love them? Do you believe God loves them? I believe God loves them. And so we try to help them and meet these people. All the ages, some are born in the street, and some have lived their life in the street. And you see these poor souls. Sometimes I have to watch for a walk because there's needles and things and other things. There they are. This wee fella, he lives on his own. Let me see where he lives. I push that on. He lives in the dump. I went down the dump to see him to give him some soup and a sandwich and things. And I never thought I was doing this work, but there you are. That's Joseph. Better put that back. That's Joseph who helps us. And this fella lives in here. That's his house. That's all he has. That's his bed. And there's everything for scraps and everything. So we try to help him. And every opportunity this lady in the street takes to bring the gospel. These people, I'm going too fast. These people were taxing me, and they stopped where this wee lad lived. They were only parking their taxi. And their sister says, go and talk to them. And we give them a sandwich, and then you can see they got a New Testament from the Gideons. And so we're able to give them a sandwich and the Word of God. Taxi men. And then there was these street sweepers to stop and give them something to it. And they all take it. They take the Word of God. You know me speaking to some of the children on the street. I think his battery's going or something, or else I'm going. You swing it on there. It's not moving. There she is, babies and everything. And then she said one day, stop the bus. I said, what do you want to stop now for? Wee baby, wee child and that, no problem. And then we give them some help too, you see. This boy said, give me some soup. So we just got an old, a bottle, and just cut the top off it and filled him up with soup. This is the rally. Children came and young people came. Know me how we had to split them and put the children into another part. Then we had to feed them. And we do different things for them. Then we go to the wee hospital. We go to the hospital every week. And this is the hospital where the worker has a room for them. He says to me, Norman, we're running out of drugs. We've no money for drugs. And we're stopping some of the treatment for the children, some of their chemotherapy. And we just have to decide who's going to get it and who's not going to get it. And see the children in the wee room. A lot of them have cancer. And some of them have heart disease. And some of them have liver problems. And they come in there for the play. Their parents come in. Some of them never see a parent because it's too far to travel. And some of them are orphans. But we go in every week and there's a man there every day who belongs to the Lord. That wee boy, I thought he was about 4 or 5, but they told me he was 9. He needs a liver transplant, but I don't think he's going to make it. Yeah, I asked him this time, what do you want me to buy them? I buy them pajamas, I buy them books, I buy them things. And she says, could you buy them toothbrushes this time? And some toothpaste. And we give them a wee snack to buy them fruit and things like that. You know, there you are. Some of the children. I don't know what's wrong with all these children. I don't know, but they're seriously ill. This is the girl, Farina. Farina is a CEF worker. There she is. And Frina, about 3 odd years ago, had to stop working because there's no money for her car, no money for her petrol. I says, Frina, I'll help you. So I helped her, and I thought I'd just help her for a month or two, but I'm doing it now the last 3 years. I supply all her petrol every month, and I repair her car when it needs repaired. She meets 400 children every week in her very remote villages. Sometimes it's a school, and then we have 5-day clubs. You can see small clubs. We play games with them. And they love the melons, so we buy them some melons. These are the village children in the center of Romania, out in the fields. In that particular place there, they're trying to build the church. And so they put in a base, and the base was in for about a year. I said, it's time you've done a bit more. They said, there's no money for bricks. So I was able to give them money for the bricks, and praise God, somebody else gave them the money to put the roof on. Because we were meeting in a house, and we were sitting on the floor, and they were sitting on the floor for 2 hours at the church service, most of them. And so now they've got a little church up. There you are. That wee fellow there is from Fermanagh. His mommy rang me and says to me, way before the summer, says, our Nathaniel's doing nothing in the summer, Norman. Could you take him to Romania with you? Oh, I says, well, what can he do? He said, he can't do very much. I says, hey, that's the sort of man I need. But he can sing. You should get him here to sing someday. He's a good wee singer. So I use him to sing and use him with the children. You see, then the big fellow on the red, he's from Fermanagh. And his daddy rings me. He says, Norman, could you take our Nathan with you to Romania? For you, your guy was going. I says, what can he do? He said, he can do nothing. I say, that's good. Your fellow can do little or nothing. He can do nothing. He says, hey, that's the sort of people we need. But they did all right. They sang, and there you are. Eager eyes are longing, waiting for the lights along. So who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them about Jesus? 100 kids come to that meeting, and they're sitting in a room. They're sitting outside in the summer, and praise God, they've got a wee church now, and we had helped them. We go to different places with Farina, stop at the side of the road, meet people. Praise God, we get into houses and have meetings in houses. And then up to Christie's area. Christie lives away up in the north, and he's preaching 3 and 4 times a week now. And we started off in a house in his city. It was Easter time. And he met with some people. Why is that? I don't know. We started this wee church. It's a church you wouldn't believe it. He started with 3 children. Now he's 21 children going to it. And it was a pub. And the pub was closed. And a believer bought it. And it was desperate. No, there hardly any heat in it. So I was able to put heat in it. And I was able to put a carpet in it. And Christy and his father, themselves and his brothers and a few others renovated it into a church. So it's a wee church now. It's actually better looking than what it is now. It's wonderful what God can do. A brother went away from that village years ago in communist times, and he made good in America, and he came back, and for some reason or other, he bought all the children mandolins. I don't know why, but he did it. And so we teach the children. A brother comes who plays the organ, and he teaches the children mandolins in the church. And it gets the children to church, and it gets their parents to church every so often too. And so we're able to do that for them. That's Christy there at the door. And the wee boy beside him in the blue, he opens and closes the church every Sunday. He's only about 14 or so. And Christy says to me, can you help these believers? They're Baptist believers. I says, certainly, what can we do for them? He says, you know, some are very poor. He says, could we help them? And he says, we'll buy them chickens. Thank you, certainly, buy them chickens. He says, he's married now. He says, chicken goes a long way. He says, you know, you can make sandwiches and soup and things. And then he got eggs and chickens. I don't know what came first, but he got chickens and eggs. And we're able to do all those things for them. And there's one of the believers. And we just go on. Now, this is interesting. I can't show you the clip because the clip's not working. But he said to me, Norman, every year in my city, on the 14th of October, he says, 1 million people come to our city. 1 million people come to the headquarters of the Orthodox Church. And they come to parade around the city with bones. And they say, if you rub yourself against the bones, he says, you get power. I said, we should do something with those people. And the 14th of October is my birthday. They weren't out for my birthday. I knew that. They were out to worship these dead bones. I says, we'll go over. And I says, so we took Ruth over and Naomi and we stood in. I'm not a street man. I'm sorry. I'm not a door-to-door man. But we stood in the street and gave out gospels and gave out the word of God to these people. Some of them weren't too happy with me. And there we are, Denise, Christy, Ruth, Naomi. And we stood in the street with others. There's an older brother evangelizing, telling about the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm looking at people extra came to that city just to see these old bones. There's Christy out among the people. These are what they do. It's similar to the Roman church. And they light the candles. There you are. There's the ladies and all, whatever you call them. And they're told that they go against this coffin. This coffin is some so-called saint who died years ago. And there's a gold-covered coffin. And they touch it. They think they get power. They go in there and all. There it is. And then the priest comes along and he blesses these barrels. They're only ordinary water, but when he blesses them, they become holy water. And he tells them, if you drink that holy water in the winter, he says, you'll help you with the flu. I think it might help you to get the flu, but it helps you, he says, to stop you getting the flu. But I don't know. It doesn't work, as you and I probably know. And the poor souls come along and they go for this holy water, so-called holy water. And we try to evangelize their children, to tell them the children are wrong. Christy was in that system till his mommy got saved in a Baptist church. And when his mommy got saved, she brought her children to the Baptist church against all the orthodox of her husband and Christy's father and off her mother and everybody. But she said, I'm taking my children to hear God's word. And through that, Christy, as you know, came to our camp, the CEF, and he got saved. And praise God. His brother's saved now. And his sister's saved now. And his mommy's saved now. And his other brothers get saved now. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And all this that we're told before is nothing. So poor souls. Can't show you the clip. The boy said it's not working. But they prayed through the streets with this coffin. You can maybe see it there. It's a golden-colored coffin. And thousands upon thousands of people go behind it. And that's just me saying what? Saying it's finished. Jesus said it's finished. But don't need anything, for Jesus has paid it all. So maybe you can pray for us and remember us as we seek to do our work for the Lord in Romania. The Lord's working, and praise God, he's meeting all our needs. Thank you.
We enjoy many privileges in the country that we live in, and thank you, Norman, for that report and for sharing it with us. Hymn number 366. And we'll maybe just sing the first and last verse of this with the chorus, if that's okay. Just the first and last verse. Number 366. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. Send the light. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Simon, Sharon and Victoria, and they're going to come and sing for us now. Thank you.
Well, it's lovely to be with you tonight. And the first piece we'd like to sing is entitled, How Long? And when we think of the Lord's coming back, it's not going to be long till His second coming. And when we think of this weekend of mission, how little time we've left to spread the gospel and spread His word.
We have sung the songs of victory. We have prayed to You for rain. We have cried for Your compassion to renew the land again. Now we're standing in Your presence. We're more hungry than before. Now we're on Your steps of mercy, and we're knocking at Your door. How long before You drench the barren lands? How long before we see Your righteous hands? How long before Your name is lifted high? How long before the weeping turns to songs of joy? We know Your heart is broken by the evil that You see, and You stage Your hand of judgment for Your plan to set men free. But the land is still in darkness, and we fled from what is right. We have failed the silent children who have never seen the light. How long You drench the barren lands? How long before we see Your righteous hands? How long before Your name is lifted high? How long before the weeping turns to songs of joy? How long?
Now on the saxophone and trumpets.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. If you have your Bible, I'd like to read just a few verses from the last book of Exodus, which is chapter 40, and we read from verse 34. If you have your Bible there. Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34. And we hear the word of God. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. The Lord will bless his word. What's it all about? Why do you have a missionary convention? Why do we send missionaries into other parts of the world? Why do we have Sunday schools? Why do you have children's meetings? Why do you have Bible classes? Why do we have gospel meetings? Why do we have gospel campaigns? Why do we get a man to come full time and be a pastor? Why? Well, we can say because we're told to take the gospel to every creature. We're told to go out and to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. We're told to go out and to make disciples. We're told to go out and teach. And we're told to go to preach. We're told to feed them on the finest of the wheat. Is this what it's all about? Yes, that's what it's all about. To see souls saved. To see people built up in their faith. But there's one other thing which is very, very, very important. And it's all what we always should remember is this. It's the glory of God. Never forget that. We can have our evangelistic campaigns and all the things that we have which are most necessary and all the things that we do in churches and missions and outreach. But we must remember what it's all for. It's for the glory of God. And for the salvation of dear lost souls. What is it like to try and speak a moment on the glory of God? Well, if I was to speak about redemption, well, perhaps I could say one word with someone up. Atonement. God has made atonement for our sins. If I were to speak about justification, well, I could say going to a court and being acquitted. If I were to speak about mercy, I would say through Jesus Christ, that has been achieved. And if I were to speak about love, then I could say through Jesus Christ we've been accepted in the beloved once we believe. But to speak about the glory of God, which is sometimes forgotten about, how do you describe it? Well, first of all, there's the glory of God in his place where he is. I know God's everywhere. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be traveling here and there and yonder. But I believe there's a place called heaven, God's home. And we can see the glory of God that what is not there. There's no death there. There's no sickness or no sorrow or no tears in that place. We can see the glory of God in that. We can see the glory of God what is there. We are told the seraphims are there. The cherubims, the archangels and the angels and the redeemed of the Lord are there. And they're bringing glory to the Lamb. We can see that. There's a song of praise in heaven from the redeemed. We can see their service in heaven that is perfect. And we can see they're standing in their place before God and worshipping him. And there's the glory of God in his home. There's the glory of God in himself. You see, sometimes we can take the name of God on our lips. And we can take the name of heaven on our lips. And we can take the name of Jesus on our lips. And we must ever remember who we're talking about. I remember one time I was only a young Christian. I must have said something that wasn't right. And this lady went to the church and she was a dear old saint. And she says, Norman Fox. Oh, once you said that, you know, you put your ear up. I says, yes. We called her Auntie Jean. Yes, Auntie Jean. She says, Norman Fox, walk humbly before your God. That was a good rebuke, and I needed it. Whatever I had said, whatever I was doing, it wasn't just right. And you see, there's the glory of God in Himself. God is flawless. God is thrice holy. God is absolutely perfect. He's perfect in power. We have nuclear power, atomic power, tornadoes and other natural powers that come, but He's all powerful. He's glorious in His knowledge. You know, He knows everything. Everything. I know some people who think they know everything. I'm sure you know some too. But God knows everything. He knows everything that happened in the past. He knows everything about nature. He knows everything about medical science and about all the stars and atomic science and space and the sea and the sky. And He knows everything about the sun. He knows everything about the moon. He knows everything about computers. He knows everything. And so there's the glory of God in Himself and His power and His knowledge and His wisdom that He created everything. He created it all from the very flower to the birds of the air with all their beauty, to the fish in the sea, tropical fish and other fish, to the creatures on the land. You can see the glory of God. It says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And you see the glory of God. He can even call those creatures. And one day it says in Revelation, He's going to call the birds down to the great feast of kings and captains of the last battle of earth called Armageddon. The glory of God. And He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows if you're listening to Him tonight or not. He knows if you're saved or not. He knows if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. He knows if you've been to His Son for salvation or not. He knows if you're washed in the blood of the Lamb or not. He knows everything about you and everything about me. He knows that man has been given knowledge. Man has made great strides. Man has made the wing. He's made the car. He's made the spaceship. He's made the rockets. He's made all the different things, the computer science, and all these things. Oh, but remember this. God made man. You see, I can see the glory of God in His home, heaven. I can see the glory of God in Himself. He's omniscient, knows everything. I can see He's omnipresent. I can't hide from Him. I can't bluff Him. I can't say, well, I think I'm saved or I hope I'm saved or I'm going to be saved or no. He knows if you're saved or not. I can't bluff Him and I can't hide from Him. And He's omnipotent, He's all powerful. And there's the glory of God also in His place. There's in His home, there's the glory of God in His personality and His holiness. I cannot describe what holiness really is. But holiness is absolute perfection, isn't it? Holiness is absolute purity. Holiness is absolute godliness. And the glory of God, that even when He showed Himself in Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples said, we're afraid. And when He came to Mount Sinai and showed Himself to Moses and gave them His commandments, Moses even had to turn away, and God showed him only part of His back, didn't He? And the people were not allowed to touch the mountain, they were afraid. And I think that's one of the things that's happened in our province, maybe not in your area. But it's the fear of God, it seems, they've gone out of our country. You know, when I was brought up in the streets of Belfast, my mummy never took me to church, never went to church. My father took us occasionally. We run about the streets, but I'll tell you this, we feared God. With the fear of God. Even in the wee streets, people knew there was a God. People would not have said, took God's name in vain hardly. And the boys did, they always said, God forgive me. Not that He did, but they always thought He did. That's the way they were. But you see, the fear of God, and I fear for people tonight. I fear God. I fear there's people sitting maybe in the meeting tonight, and you're going to be lost if you're not get saved. That you're on the broad road leading to destruction. I believe in the fear of God. God has told me there's a place in heaven for those who repent and come to Him. But there's also a place in hell for those who do not repent. And you see, I fear God and I fear for people. That's what takes me out here. There's people in the street. They may be drug addicts. They may be glue sniffers. But this woman puts her arm around them because she loves the Lord Jesus and she loves them for Jesus. And that's what we got to get back to, the glory of God and His home. And there's a glory of God in Himself. There's a glory of God in His holiness. And you'll never see God without holiness. And if you and I want to be in heaven and be with God in heaven, we need to sort it out down here. We need to have the holiness that only God can give us and the righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians, isn't it, in chapter 1 and verse 30, He says, He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our all in all. And the only way we can ever be accepted before this great thrice holy God is through His Son. Because God, as you know, made man and He made woman. And they fell, and it was a terrible fall. And man is a fallen creature, and a falling creature. And man has not got the ability to lift himself. Man needs saving, and man needs a Savior. That's why we have missionary societies. That's why we have missionary enterprises. That's why we have gospel meetings and gospel campaigns. Because only God can save through Christ. And this is God, and there's a glory of God. You know, God moved towards man through His Son. God moved and made a sacrifice of His Son. You know, I can't describe it all, but I believe on the cross was the Son of God. I believe He was entirely God. I believe He was fully God. I believe He was God the Son and the Son of God. And I believe when He hung on that own cross, the glory of God, there's a glory of the cross. It was the most holy sacrifice that was ever made on this earth for mankind. And praise God, it still has the power today to save to the uttermost all who come to God through Him. The glory of God. Yes, someone has said, I'll read it, it says, to be in His thrice holy presence. Having never been saved, no righteousness, no holiness, is surely nakedness of the naked. What if we like to meet God? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How will we escape from the coming from the meeting tonight and other nights when you listen to the faithful preaching here? And you know you needed to be saved and you didn't get saved and you meet the thrice holy God. And you see Him in His glory and you see Him in His majesty and you see Him in His awe. What will you say? Yes, there's the glory of God. It could go on. There's the glory of God in His home. There's the glory of God in Himself. There's the glory of God in His holiness. There's the glory of God in His hands outstretched to save through the cross. And then, of course, there's a glory of God not only described, there's a glory of God demanded. He says, one day, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of God the Father. And Mr. Cameron on bow the knee. And Mr. Miliband on bow the knee. And Mr. Putin and all the other ones, and Mr. Obama, they'll bow the knee, and all the Muslims will bow the knee, and they'll say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. The glory of God will be demanded. And then we read in this dear old book away back in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4, the glory of God departed. Isn't it a sad day when the glory of God departs? Maybe we could write over some of the places today. Ichabod. The glory of God's departed. I was a young Methodist minister. We had our conference down in the city of Belfast, Donegal Square. It's now a bank. Big pillars. And I'm not criticizing the Methodists by any means. I can take you to Scotland, and I was driving through, and there was a lovely church, and on the stonework was engraved one of the Psalms of the old Covenanter's Psalms. And inside, it was a dance studio. Go around our wee halls, we're meeting every month now, Mr. Fox. Can't get enough to meet every week. Some of our dear halls. And you know, in Israel, why did the glory depart?
from his people. Where was there sin in the house of God? Wasn't there slackness and slothfulness in the servant of God? Wasn't there strife among the people of God? And God just withdrew himself. He wist not, didn't say the song, that the Lord had left them. Oh, we think we go through it all, we keep it going, keep the works moving, keep the oil going. But I wonder, do we ever sit down and take stock? Are we doing it for the glory of God? Is God pleased? Is God honored? Is God happy with what I'm doing? I get down often before God and say, Lord, do you want me to continue this work? Well, Lord, I only want to do what God wants me to do. Lord, I want to do what thee want me to do. Give me the vision that thee want me to do. I help Christy, yes, way up there. He's now preaching, and he's preaching the Baptist church every Sunday. He's gone out into the village, and I rang him just, was it Friday? He says, how are you doing? Doing all right. Say, have you any money? He says, I haven't a penny. Say, what do you the money I sent you? He says, well, my wife had to get tests done. And I had to pay for the tests, for the blood tests and for the scans and all. Oh, says I, well, we'll get you something then. Doesn't God want me to do it? And it's the same when his meet sister, Ina. She wants me to just use the minibus to fill it with clothes, put soup on it, bring it out to the poor. Tell them about Jesus. She never misses once. Never once have I heard her missing an opportunity to tell street cleaners, to tell taxi drivers, to tell people in the street, to tell the roughs, to tell the toughs about Jesus. What does she do it for? She's a woman 70 years of age coming. Her eyesight's going. She does it for what? The glory of God. The glory of God. Yes, the glory of God described. The glory of God was demanded. But sadly to say, one day in Israel, the glory of God departed. And then, dear friends, isn't it great when we read Exodus there? When the glory of God descended. When the glory of God came down and filled the tabernacle. When did he come down? When everything was ready. When they had it all ready, when Moses told them what to do, you'll do it according to what I told you, Moses. Moses told the people. He told them how to make the furniture. He told them how to make the high priest's garments. He told them how to do everything because God was a great architect. Told them how to make this tabernacle and other things. He did it my way, he says. And he did it God's way. Men who maybe had never made that, they're only slaves in their lives before. But you see, when God put his spirit in them, they could do great things. And I can tell you, God can still do great things through those who are willing to go through with God and be filled with the spirit of God, what God wants them to do. And they did it. And when they finished it, and they reared it up, and you can have it reared up, and you can have the beautiful tapestries, you can have the gold-covered things and all the beautiful furniture, but it's empty if God's not in it. But God came down, and the glory of God descended. Wasn't it wonderful? What a day it must have been. What a day it must have been when they built the temple, never equaled in history since, the great temple of Solomon. But was it great when God came down? Ah, but isn't it great when we read in the book, according to John, Jesus Christ came down, and what does it say? That he was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. You know, the old catechism used to say this, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I wonder when God come down again before the Lord returns. We may not all agree in the way he's returning. We may not all agree in the wherefores of his returning. But I'll tell you this, we all agree who's returning. That's Jesus is coming back. What a glory that'll be when he comes to the clouds for his people. I wonder why we're not seeing the glory descending these days. Well, maybe we'll have him brought all the tithes and offerings in, for he says, bring them in and prove me now, open the window of heaven and give you a blessing. Maybe my people who are called by my name, haven't forsaken their sin and haven't prayed as we should have prayed. He said, if you do, he says, I'm king of your land. Maybe there's sin in the camp somewhere, and maybe we've still got the Achans about. Maybe that's it. Maybe the unity of God's people, according to Psalm, he says, if my people are one and walk together, he says, it'll be done. Maybe we've got entangled with the affairs of this life. Maybe he says, and he say, if you love each other and they see your good works, what will they do? They'll glorify your Father in heaven. That's what he says.
Maybe the seed needs to be fallen on good ground. You may ask, how do I keep going and all this work and all the rest of it? Well, I want you to look at a wee verse before I stop. I'm going to stop now. Just you look at a verse, and it's in the book of Ephesians. Maybe you know this. Ephesians 3. You open that, please. Ephesians 3. Here's what I want you to go home with for the glory of God. I want you to remember this. For the glory of God now. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Here's what it says. You know it, I'm sure. Nigh unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. Okay, I want you to keep your finger in verse 20. Here's what it says, the first thing. He's able to do. Now it says, he's able to do. What's he able to do? He's able to do, see what I ask. If I ask anything in his name, he won't do it, provided the Father is glorified in the Son. So he's able to do what I ask. Then it says he's able to do what I think. I'm up another rung. What I ascertain. And then he's able to do all that I ask or think. And then he doesn't finish there. He's able to do above all that I ask or think. And he doesn't stop there. He's able to do abundantly above all that I ask or think. No, he doesn't stop there. He says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. He's able to do. And how does he do it, Norman? Church says, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, and by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. The glory of God described. The glory of God and be demanded. The glory of God had departed. But praise God, the day the glory of God descended. And I pray him descend upon you and upon his work here for his name's sake. Amen. Time is gone. And we'll just close in prayer. Thank you. We thank thee, our God and Father, for thy word. We thank thee for all we've heard. But Lord, help us not just to hear. Help us to heed what God has said to us. We can't hide from him. And there's the glory of the cross. And we thank thee for the day the lovely Lord Jesus came to earth and hung upon a cross, the loveliest person ever to live, and went about doing good. And he says, this work that I've done, the Father's business is finished. And now there's free and full salvation, for Jesus has paid it all. Lord, save tonight. Bless the people of God tonight and help us to do everything for the glory of thy name. Now, Lord, watch over us as we go and bless this time of fellowship and refreshments together, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.